This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
It's made two from outside 50 today. This is half that distance. From 27 yards, he makes it.
Now back to Overtime with Sterling Bennett and Mark Grandy on 95.7 The Game.
Well, that gave the 49ers a lead momentarily. The Chiefs would go down in overtime, and they'd score the touchdown, and they would walk off victorious in Super Bowl 58 over the 49ers in Las Vegas. 25-22 was the final. That was the call from Jim Nantz on CBS, of course. Niners lose in the Super Bowl once again for the second time in the Shanahan era, and that's three straight trips to the Super Bowl for the 49ers as a franchise, all resulting in L's. They won their first five Super Bowls as a franchise. They've lost their last three. Now 5-3 in the big game are the San Francisco 49ers. Welcome back, Grandy and Sterling with you. We've got a special guest to get to in just a moment, but Sterling, I feel like you want to say something here.
I feel like a Vikings fan. I feel like a Buffalo Bills fan.
Yep.
Like, you lose four Super Bowls, and I get the Bills, what, lost four in a row, right? Like, it just, I'm so tired of watching my favorite team ever lose continually.
You want to know what I remember?
Big moments.
I remember in the 2012 postseason when they lost to the Ravens in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Actually, no, the year before, when they lost to the Giants in the NFC Championship.
Kyle Williams game.
I remember that was the first year the Niners made the playoffs that I can remember it happening.
That was
the first
time
in my lifetime.
Win, yeah. In the previous round.
Yes. The epic.
The catch three, I believe.
Yeah, catch three. That game. I remember that was when Facebook was like just beginning and it was big, right?
Yeah.
I remember changing the cover photo on my Facebook page. Yeah. I think if you scroll back far enough, you'll still see it. The quest for six.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The quest for six.
They had to stop that because it wasn't
Guess
working.
What? 13 years later, we're still on the quest for damn six. 13 Dude. Years later. Now it's been nearly 30 years.
Now it's the search for six.
Whatever, man.
There are 13-year-olds that...
There are 13-year-olds who have seen their team go to three Super Bowls and lost all
of
them.
And, yeah. And, you know, me and you were 27, and we've watched... And the Tim Rattays and the poor quarterbacking. We also got to watch Garcia, Mariucci, and Garrison Hurst and Frank Gore. Like, we got to see a lot of great players that were like, wow, I'm happy they're on our team. Remember that guy? Remember this guy? Arnaz Battle and Daryl Jackson and
Brandon Lloyd.
And you're like, wow, like, look at these guys. And you're like, yeah, they won four games that year. Oh. Okay. Well, whatever.
Yeah.
The Derek Smiths and the Jeff Ulbrichts and the Bryant Youngs, who was a great player, Hall of Famer, but it just, I feel
Nate
like
Nate Clements.
I feel like a Bills fan. I feel like, yeah. Like, it's not like difficult to go, who are you? I'm a Niner fan. Like, I identify with this team more than the Warriors, more than the Giants, and I played baseball for 18 years. I am a gold blooded, brick by brick, red and gold till I die Niner fan. I am so sick. Like, I know Goose on the line here. I feel like a Cowboys fan. Now, Niners better than Cowboys, but I feel like a Cowboys fan. It's been too long. It's starting to get to that point of like, oh, yeah, Niner fans, you know, always talking about 1995, back in the good old days. Like, I hate that. We clown Cowboy fans, and I always do till the day I die. But it's starting to get to the point where it's like, okay, like, how many times are you going to lose? Like, I feel like my pride's getting hit every single year. Yeah, I'm a Niner fan, faithful all the way to the end, and I will be forever and ever and ever. Whether it's an OT loss in the Super Bowl or a first-round loss, whenever. I'll always be there. But it's like, God, man, like, come on.
Yeah, it feels like you're approaching curse territory is what it feels like for the 49ers. And that is the worst word in sports fandom. All right, I mentioned a special guest. Then we'll get back out to the phone lines after this. I got a text from Guru, Daryl the Guru Johnson. He said he's got to hop on. He's got takes to get off. So Guru is joining us here on Overtime on 95.7 The Game. Goo, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. How you doing, man?
I'm not doing well. And Sterling and Grandy, you guys, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. All season long, after every Niner game, I'm tuned in. So just know, I know what you guys do, and you do a great job.
Thank you,
but
man.
My father, 82 years old, had a ticket for the Niners to win the NFC, just went to Vegas, cashed that, $750. Today was going to be $1,450, and I'm calling on the behalf of him. I know you guys are hurting, and I'm hurting for the Bay fans, but I need some clarity. So let me just ask you two, am I off base by wondering why in the heck did Kyle Shanahan, this just me now, and you tell me if I'm wrong, why did you let all that time tick off the clock at the end of the game? That's just me, if you kind of felt like Kansas City was going to score one. And then two, I have no beefs with Brock Purdy. He showed everything that the stage wasn't too big, but I do wonder where was George Kittle? And I am shocked that they were up 10 again in another big game, big stage to where they lost. And I'm asking you two, where do you point the finger? Cause all I can do, and I don't feel good doing this, but I'm like, Kyle, how do you get an interception after halftime without Greenlaw and all that emotion that went with it and McCaffrey on that series, which results in no points, does not touch the ball? You can tell me bye and I'll talk to you and I love you both, but how do you justify not giving your best player a touch after that interception? That just bothers me.
Yeah, Goo, I'm with you, and we haven't heard this yet, so I'm going to play this for us all to hear for the first time. That was asked of Kyle Shanahan. Here is the Niners head coach post-game about why the Niners got away from the run game.
I didn't get away from the run game. You go three and out, and you don't get drives, so we didn't get away from it. We just didn't stay on the field.
I don't know how you feel about that, Goo. I don't know how you feel about that, Sterling.
What?
First nine plays of the 49ers in the second half. Eight
he
passes.
He doesn't learn, man.
Eight passes in the first nine plays on offense, Goo.
Oh my goodness.
Man. That is, again, here I go. And we've all been around for the 19th Super Bowl. I just hate the feeling I have, and I'm about to lay it down, is I've watched the Niners, and I'm being real here. I've watched the Niners twice on two occasions outplay the Chiefs in the Super Bowl and not get rewarded for it. You could tell me, and I know Mahomes is great, tonight was awful. He did not deserve. Steve Wilkes, I'll never say another bad word about you. Even though your unit let him come down and score, guys, to me this game was lost on the offense. And Sterling, when you let me go, I don't know what was up. Was Kittle the extra offensive lineman? Why was George Kittle not featured?
I would like to think, Kyle, like he did in 2019, after the audio clip we just played, he didn't learn a single thing. So I'm going to assume, like in 2019, 2020, Kittle was in the backfield helping McKivitz. And that's fine for a handful of plays. But, Goo, you and I and Grandy, we all watched the Chiefs force feed Kelce eight passes for 92 yards in the second half and the overtime. And Kittle sitting there like, I'm going to block, you know, the Karloftis. No, make a play. You're an all-pro tight end. Why are you playing the second right tackle position? You have Warner. Warner's been a great blocker all year. If you got to run two tight end sets, put Juszczyk in the backfield. Let them be a blocker. Man, to hear Kyle say, we didn't get away from the run, what do you call that? You have nine plays, eight passes. Like, that's that is literally the definition of getting away from the run. Like, how can you hear that and trust this guy?
No doubt. And we're going to – hey, you guys are doing phenomenal. I'm listening to Weiss saying I'm being too loud. But, Sterling, you're right. And to my point, if I'm a diehard Niner, it makes it worse when I hear my head coach, the maestro, the conductor of it all, not be ignorant to the fact, but almost be dismissive, like if he did nothing wrong. And, guys, I'm going to hang up on this because I want to hear you on the other end. I have no problems with Jake Moody, but the field goal was blocked, and you guys could disagree with me. Oh, my gosh, are you saying he was the reason that the kick got blocked? I'm like, man, I don't know. I just feel like Niner fans are putting it at the doorstep of the wrong people, man. I love you both. I'll take my answer off air, but, man, this one hurts.
Yeah, it does, Goo.
Thanks,
hey,
Goo.
Yeah, love you, Goo. You can hear Goo coming up in, 12 hours from now, 10 a.m., 10 to 2, Steiny and Goo after the morning row, 6 to 10.
Dude.
I'm sure it'll be fun is not the right word, an entertaining day after.
Well, we got Bunta and Chasky in Vegas.
Yeah, they're in Vegas tomorrow and on Tuesday.
Morning roast will be quite the adventure tomorrow.
It's going to be an experience
tomorrow.
If you're up at 6 a.m., I suggest tuning in. If not, rewind on the Odyssey app or on YouTube and catch up with those guys, because it's going to be an experience. But
I just please react.
Let's play Kyle Shanahan one more time.
Yes.
Asked about getting away from the run game, I did not hear the question, but I imagine the question was directed about the first three drives of the second half. All three and outs when the 49ers on those nine plays ran the ball once. Here's Kyle Shanahan asked why.
I didn't get a run away from the run game. You go three and out and you don't get drives, so we didn't get away from it. We just didn't stay on the field.
So, Kyle, why'd you get three and outs? Why'd you get three and outs,
like,
Kyle?
What the heck?
Why did you get three? Because you didn't run the ball. You threw it, incomplete, second and 10, then a penalty, second and 15, then guess what? You're forced to throw. I'm not arguing with throwing on second and 15. I'm not arguing with throwing on third and 7. I am arguing with over and over and over again throwing on first and 10.
And then you
when you have the best running back in the world, and then you have the audacity to say, we didn't get away from the run. No, no, it was just three and out. So we didn't have drives. We didn't extend drives. So we don't have many plays to call. So we called the No.
It doesn't even have to be McCaffrey. You have Debo pre-injury. You have Mitchell. No one's saying not pass. Passing is fine. Me. We like when Purdy passes. He's pretty good at it. In fact, he was really good in the first half. I have no problem, even on the first drive, getting out of halftime. Okay? You want to pass the ball a couple times in a row? Okay. It's one drive. It's not going to hurt you too much. Not going to kill the entire, you know, it's not going to ruin your chances here. But you get the pick off Mahomes on that exact same drive. Bad snap. Almost fumbled on the first play.
One of five times the Chiefs put the ball on the ground.
He throws a pick. You have the ball on Kansas City's 44-yard line. If you run the ball three times, even if you don't get the first down, you got 9 yards. You at least give Moody a chance. It's a long field goal. I get that. But instead, what do? Three plays, minus 1 yard, not even 1 minute off the clock. The next drive they have, okay? Three more plays.
Pass, pass, pass.
Minus 1 yard. A minute and 43. So less than 3 minutes, you've run six plays, and you've gotten negative 2 yards. The next drive, three more plays, 0 yards, and a minute and two off the clock. In the span of nearly 3.5 minutes, you've run nine plays, one running play, and you've gotten yourself minus 1 yard. You know who doesn't get pushed back usually? Christian McCaffrey. And guess what? If he gets stuffed, I'm going to assume he had nearly 5 yards of pop all year long. Use him again. If you don't continue to run, you give KC a chance to key in on the pass. It's the exact same thing that happened 4 years ago when you stopped using Mostert. It's the same thing that happened in 2016 when you stopped using Tevin Coleman and Freeman. If you're going to tell the fan base, going to lie to the media's face, you got to be a hell of a lot more convincing than that. Kyle Shanahan, you outright lied today. You got away from the run. Did it cost you the whole game? No. But you did get away from the run.
Yeah.
You did not give Christian McCaffrey the ball. You did not give Deebo the ball. You did not give Kittle the ball. You lied. And it's the second time you've yet to face the music. You've done this three other times. Kyle, you are the problem. I'm not saying fire you, man. I like you. I love you. I've been to OTAs, been to training camp, been in the media room with you. I respect the heck out of you. You've accomplished so much. I love you. I'm happy you're my head coach. But for the love of God, can you stop lying to people's faces? You stopped running the ball. And you didn't give it to your offensive player of the year in the biggest game of the year when the other team is giving you a chance to score points on three consecutive drives. That's how you lose games, and you lost tonight.
Yeah, don't let anyone tell you, well, McCaffrey got 30 touches today. Don't let anyone tell you that, well, Kyle gave him 30. That's plenty. You want to run him into the ground? Okay. First of all, 8 of those touches were through the air, and they were effective. 80 yards. 8 catches, 80 yards. 22 carries. You know how many of those carries came in overtime? 6. 6 carries for Christian McCaffrey in overtime. So that means through 4 quarters, 60 minutes of football, Christian McCaffrey toted the rock 16 times. That's 4 times a quarter. That is unacceptable. Unacceptable.
Why did you acquire
unacceptable.
Him?
25 carries per 4 quarters. That should be the target. That, like, around 6 carries per quarter, Kyle. The Super Bowl. You don't got next week. You don't have 2 weeks. You got nothing else.
Oh, my goodness, man. He doesn't get it.
It's the Dan Campbell. It's the Andy Reid. It go down with what got you here. Kyle Shanahan refused to do it. Don't let anyone tell you, well, 30 touches for McCaffrey, 22. No, that's a lie. That's a statistical lie. You had an extra 15 minutes in overtime. 6 carries, more catches in overtime for McCaffrey. Like, 8 of his 30 came in overtime. That's not enough. More in regulation, and you don't even get to overtime.
Why did you acquire him? If you're not going to use him in the biggest game, why'd you get him?
We talked so often throughout this whole regular season, right? You always get someone. The Niners beat the Giants early in the year. They beat the Giants by, like, 40. Someone calls in and say, well, I really would wish they would get George Kittle the ball more, right? It's like, okay, I feel you. They dominated. They won. And also, like, let's save our guys for when it really matters. You don't want to overuse Kittle. You don't want to overuse Deebo. You don't want to overuse McCaffrey. You want to win games. You want to win the division. You want to get the one seed. Yes. But we're not going to do it at the expense of hindering our ability to win in the postseason. Kyle, in case you hadn't figured it out, this is when you run your guys into the ground. This is when you do it. This is when they want you to do it. Give him every touch he can handle. Every single time you give this guy the ball. And if he needs to get spelled, okay, Elijah Mitchell, come on in. Deebo, give McCaffrey a break. This is when you use him over and over and over again. He's the best running back in the world. There has never been a weapon like Christian McCaffrey in NFL history.
He didn't play in week 18. He had 2 bye weeks. I get it. The last 2 games have been tough, and they've been ground and pound, had to fight for every inch. They've also had another bye week just recently. If there's any moment to run all of your stars, and I get what, it's a 27-week season, right, from the preseason all the way here. It's a grind. That's why many teams have so many. We saw a record amount of quarterbacks, starters, get hurt for the entire season. It's not easy. This is one of the hardest championships to win in all of professional sports. One of the hardest one, if not the hardest one. There is no 7-game series. There's no 5-game series. It's one game. Winner takes all, and you got to overtime. Good for you. You know what you get? Congratulations. You lost. See you next season.
Just like all the other teams, not named the Chiefs.
And again, no one is saying that on those 3 drives, if you use CMC, you're going to win the game. No one's saying that, but I would like to think if you put your hand or put the ball in the hands of your best offensive player, in fact, the offensive player of the year, hence the best player on offense in the entire league, not a quarterback, the odds of you winning this game increase at least a little bit, and you only lost by 3 points in overtime, where if you had an extra point in regulation, you would have won the damn game. Whether it's getting a touchdown or a field goal off the Mahomes pick, your defense came up for you, bailed you out time and time again and again, especially when you go into halftime. Wow, what a 7-point lead. We're feeling pretty good. The Chiefs have a chance to tie the game up, and Mahomes, of all people, he blinks. He makes a mistake. Purdy's out there saying, I didn't do that. I had 256 yards passing. I didn't turn the ball over. I had one touchdown. Mahomes, he gives you a pick. They fumbled the ball 6 times. A bounce is a bounce. It goes your way sometimes. Mahomes made the mistake. The god of football, the MJ, as they call him on the CBS broadcast, the MJ gave you an out. And you said, I'm going to brick some free throws. Like, what are you, Shaq at the free throw line, my guy? Make a shot. They're free. Run the ball 3 times. At least give Moody a chance. He was good tonight. Yeah, he had the block kick. Was it his fault? Maybe. But if you're going to utilize him and trust him in these moments, give him a chance then. Like, come on. I hate to sit here and complain and whine, if you want to call it, but this is what separates you from Reed, from Belichick, from Mahomes.
It's not like you can say, hindsight's 20/20. We all knew this was a mistake in the moment.
We've seen hindsight twice.
We all knew this was hindsight We all knew this was a mistake in the moment. I logged on to Twitter to send out a tweet after the first drive of the second half when it was 3 straight passes. I said, hey, Kyle, maybe think about giving the ball to your all-pro running back. I saw like 20 other tweets of the same thing. Then after the second drive, the same exact thing. The third drive, the same exact thing. It was a mess, and everybody and their moms, except for Kyle Shanahan, knew it was a mistake in the moment, and Shanahan isn't even able to cop to it as a mistake now, after the game.
And there's people on the text line telling us to stop because we questioned the use of CMC early. Yeah, week 3, week 4, week 5, not in the playoffs. Take the MLB playoffs, for example. Bumgarner's going to throw in 3 different games, whether it's Game 1 and Game 4 and Game 7. Your best player's going to be out there. And no, this ain't baseball. It's football. Guys get hurt. It's different, right? It isn't the same thing, but your best players have to get the ball in the biggest moments. You would not use Max Scherzer in the biggest moments. You wouldn't give it to Bumgarner. You wouldn't make sure your number one closer is in there in the 9th inning, game on the line. CMC is your freaking closer with the game on the line, and you put the 7th inning guy in, and he blew the lead for you. Now you're sitting there saying, wow, we're lucky the offense came back. It's tied late, and then you lose still. Like, no one's saying that you can't protect your players early in the season. You can. We're for that. This team has Debo and Ayuk and Kittle and CMC. There's ways to spread the ball around to save your guys for moments like this. In fact, in this game, give it to Kittle more. Create plays for Debo. You can spread the ball around, but going into this game, Grandy and I both said, many others said as well, the Chiefs have the 29th-ranked run defense in the entire NFL. It's not like everybody wasn't saying, oh, that means it's a Chris McCaffrey kind of day. And with the ball on the 44-yard line of KC, they were like, nah, that's fine. Okay, it doesn't make sense,
yeah,
Mark.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. All right, we got to hit a break. To the callers, we had to get that off our chest after hearing Kyle Shanahan apologies. You are coming up next. We got a favorite of ours, Philmo Mike, on the line. Philmo, stay on hold. We're coming to you. Also, Robert, you're next in line. A handful of others. Stay there. We will get to you. I promise you guys, if you hang out on hold, we will get to you eventually. We're with you all night until we got no more callers. So keep them coming. 888-957-9570. It's overtime as we continue to react to a Niners loss in the Super Bowl 25-22 to KC. More.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
OT coming up next, right here on 95.7 The Game.
Unleash your inner Viking with the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe, and you could win tickets to Norway to see Heart live at Tons of Rock. You and three friends, round-trip airfare, five-night hotel stay, VIP tickets, $500 gift card, and more. Enter now at odyssey.com/Santa Fe for your chance to win. This epic getaway is made possible by the all-new 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe, equipped for adventure. Check out Heart's tour lineup at heart-music.com.
Comcast Business is introducing the Small Business Bonus. For a limited time, you can get up to a $1,000 prepaid card when you switch to Comcast Business, the company with the largest, fastest, reliable network.
Give your business a head start in 2024. Get started with fast speeds and advanced security for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a two-year agreement. Switch today. Ends 2/21/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Taxes and fees extra. Prepaid card requires premium internet.
Since first opening its doors in 1964, Fremont Bank has approached banking with a simple idea in mind. Growth comes one customer at a time. You see, while some institutions might be on the lookout for the next big thing, we like to think that's what you'll be. And when you achieve great things, it leads to success throughout the community. It also allows us to continue our tradition of giving back to the region. It's a strategy that's proven successful for nearly 60 years, and we expect to continue success for years to come. Fremont Bank, putting the community in community banking.
Looking for the perfect place to unwind and savor amazing beers? Check out Ballast Point Brewing Company's newest location at 705 16th Street in San Francisco, with tons of great beers to choose from, along with local craft options, wine, seltzers, and hard kombucha. Join us for brunch every Saturday and Sunday. Test your wits with Trivia Wednesdays, and don't miss our weekly happy hour specials. We'll even cover 2.5 hours of parking at the garage at 1800 Owen Street. Ballast Point Brewing Company, where good times and great drinks come together.
Hey, you're up next.
Ugh, my throat hurts so bad. There's no way I can sing tonight.
Here, try these.
Vicks VapoCool Drops.
Yeah, Vicks VapoCool Drops has maximum strength menthol with a rush of Vicks Vapors.
Ooh, I can already feel it.
I told you. So, you ready?
I'm ready.
Vaporize sore throat pain fast with Vicks VapoCool Drops.
Hey, San Francisco. Want to know a secret to the 49ers' success this season? Amazing sleep. As the official sleep partner of the San Francisco 49ers, Mattress Firm fitted the team with the right pillows to sleep on at home and bring on the road. And thanks to the Bay Area sleep experts, the Niners got the rest and recovery they needed to dominate all season. Now, they're on their way to the big game. So, are you ready for championship-quality rest? Great sleep and a great season start at Mattress Firm.
Attorney Joe Cordell.
Business owners and professionals face special challenges in divorce court. In addition to everything else going on, they have to contend with allegations that they are earning more than they are, coupled with claims on their business or practice itself. Clients with assets depend on their divorce lawyer's skills in these matters, and that's why it's so important to hire someone that has those skills.
Schedule an appointment with one of Cordell & Cordell's California area attorneys. 2121 North California Boulevard, Suite 290, Walnut Creek, California, 94596.
Paid for by Cordell and Cordell.
Nothing slows my little girl down, except a stuffy nose.
Mommy.
That's why I use Sinex Children's Saline from Vicks. Sinex instantly clears mucus in everyday stuffy little noses with a gentle, ultra-fine mist designed for kids. Just Sinex? Breathe. Her stuffy nose is gone for now. And so is she.
Sinex Children's Saline. Sinex? Breathe. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
At the Golf Mart, there's something that binds us all. The collective goal to transcend the ordinary. Introducing the all-new TaylorMade QI10 Max Driver. Combining TaylorMade distance with the forgiveness of 10K inertia. Experience your drives in 10K. Visit us in-store for a free custom fitting at the Golf Mart. Or shop us online at worldwidegolf.com. Get there.
Second and 10. Juwan Jennings, trick play. Oh, this ball's in the air for a long time. McCaffrey's able to pull it down, and he's going in for the touchdown. Juwan Jennings with a touchdown pass.
Now back to overtime with Sterling Bennett and Mark Grandy on 95.7 The Game.
Now that made it 10-0 in the final 5 minutes of the first half. Things were looking great for the 49ers. The Chiefs, though, the rest of the way outscored the 49ers 25-12. And they earn a victory in Super Bowl 58, final score 25-22. Juwan Jennings threw for a touchdown, caught a touchdown, the second player in Super Bowl history to do that. It's kind of an odd list. Two-man list. Nick Foles, the Philly special, remember, that beat Tom Brady.
He's got a trophy.
Philly special, Nick Foles, and Juwan Jennings. The only players with a passing touchdown and a receiving touchdown in Super Bowl history. That highlight again, Jim Nance, Tony Romo on CBS.
To think, seventh-round pick, had a ton of personal issues at Tennessee. A ton. To point of, like, people thought undraftable, and now he's, like, one of the happiest players in the team. People gravitate towards him.
And one of the more
him.
Like reliable and consistent.
Yeah.
Like, he's not one of their best offensive weapons, no. But you know what you're going to get from him every single week.
There is no way I'm letting him leave.
He's a restricted free agent.
Yes. So essentially what that means is other teams can make offers. And
the Niners have the right to match.
Yes, or they can let him go. And if they do, I believe it's a second-round tender. So they can tender his contract. If someone else signs him, they get a second-round pick in return. But I would like to think the way Juwan plays fits in the system that he's probably worth more than a second-round pick to them.
Probably. He's had an incredible postseason.
They're
not in the Super Bowl if not for Juwan Jennings, and they're not close in the Super Bowl without Juwan Jennings.
He's one of their best players in the playoffs.
He certainly proved his worth this playoff run as well, although the Niners, they fall short. All right, as promised, out to the phone lines we go. Up first is Philmo Mike. Everyone else stay on hold. We're coming to you after. Philmo, what's up? How you doing, man? You're on overtime on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, man. I'm not doing good. Let me just get a couple of things off my chest.
Yep, go ahead, FOMO.
The Chiefs, yes, I appreciate you. Grandy, Sterling, y'all doing y'all thing, man, for real, for real. I already know how it is. It's hard. I was on air as well on the radio station that I work at, and it was just, I was just like, man, I'm distraught. I didn't think that we was going to lose. A couple of things. The Chiefs didn't believe and couldn't believe that they won the game. When they won the game, they were like kind of like shocked, in my opinion. They weren't the better team, to what Guru said. This hurts. It really hurts. This is one of them losses that really, really hurts. It's almost like we got our due in the 80s and the 90s, and it's like now we're cursed. We're like Buffalo. We're like Cleveland. We're like the New York Knicks of the 90s. Shout out to the Sharks. Shout out to San Jose, man. We like the Sharks. You know what I'm saying? Honestly, this is the type of loss, and I love 95.7 The Game. I love interacting. I don't even want to talk to y'all about the Niners until we get back, if we ever get back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like I'm honestly in shock. I thought we were going to win the game. I really did. I called earlier. I'm like, we're going to win 30-10. We were the better team. I'm looking at the game. I'm like, bro, what's going on? We're the better team. We have opportunities. We had some mistakes and mishaps, but we should have capitalized on our opportunities, and we didn't. Now, unlike y'all, I'm really not blaming Kyle. I'm not. That's just me, because I understand what he was saying. It kind of got away, but I do understand what y'all saying. If you would have just ran the ball on first down, bro, and then you got to use Elijah Mitchell.
Yeah.
Like, he's there. Use him. You can't miss extra points. I knew that would come back the hardest. And I want y'all to, real quick, I know I'm rambling. I know I've been talking for like a minute and 30 seconds, but hear me out. I don't know why the play to the flat where we're with, in the seven, it's like first and goal, and we're on defense. That play to the flat has been beating our ass all year.
Yeah.
All freaking year. And they never corrected it. I'm like, why is this play to the left side of the, or the right side of the offense, the left side of the defense? It, I swear to God, you could watch 6 or 7 games, and whether we were in the game or not in the game, that play to the flat kept beating us, and Andy Reid had it for us. I don't know why we weren't prepared for that play. It's like you trying to skip over people. Just put Mooney Ward over there. He's right there. Put him there. Let the person that's coming inside, let Warner take him. I don't know, but I love y'all.
Yep. Appreciate it, Filmo. We love you, too. I'm not sure exactly which play, like, specifically Filmo's talking about.
I think he means the touchdown to end the game.
Well, okay, so that makes it even more interesting because that's a play that has haunted the Niners a lot. Yeah. Filmo was right. I do think the Niners defense deserves credit for stopping the outside run game in this game. They adjusted to that.
It shouldn't have got to that point.
They adjusted to that. But, interestingly enough, that play that won the game for the Chiefs, mm-hmm. the Mecole Hardman 3-yard touchdown at the end of overtime to walk it off, it was the same play the Chiefs ran twice to get into the end zone against the Eagles in the Super Bowl last year.
Wow.
The same play. It was not Mecole Hardman. It was Kadarius Toney. They line up that receiver. In this case, it was Hardman on the right side. He moves in motion, starts moving across the formation back to the left. And what happened with the Eagles last year, I need to go back and watch the tape of the Niners today, but what happened to the Eagles last year, they did it for a touchdown and I think for a two-point conversion, or maybe it was two touchdowns. I can't remember exactly, but it happened twice. They start moving the receiver in motion, and the defense passes him off. They pass him off. So instead of that corner staying on him, they pass it off to a linebacker, and they start following him across the formation. Right when the defenders pass the man off, the receiver cuts back out to the right, reverses the motion, and suddenly he's wide open over there because they got no one accounted for him on that side. And it's the same exact thing that happened in this one. And Andy Reid, post-game, I don't remember where I saw it. I saw him say, yeah, that's the play we ran last year in the Super Bowl, twice.
Hmm. That was in his bag.
It's hurt the Niners in the regular season, a play like that, as Filmo is pointing out, and it was on the Super Bowl tape last year that I guarantee you the Niners watched.
If I'm correct, I believe, although not the exact type of play with motion, I believe that's how Jahmyr Gibbs got one of his touchdowns against the Lions. It's a simple out in the flat.
Was that a pitch? It might have been a pitch.
Either way, whether it's
it was
pass
out
or pitch,
to the right side of the formation.
To the right side, essentially in the flat in a way, albeit not the exact same way, but the right side at the goal line has been an issue. I mean, it didn't happen in this game, but how many times did I say, oh, they're in the red zone, Kelce in the flat? It didn't happen, but you're expecting it. It's a play KC runs all year, and it's a play that at times the Niners can stop, but like 90% of the time they can't. And yeah, you got beat by a guy who's been there before and has won it twice, now a third time because of that play he's an expert at. He can call it, they can run it perfectly. All that to say, shouldn't have got to that point. Your defense played great for 4.5 quarters. Held Mahomes under 20 points.
You gave up one touchdown in regulation, and it was because of a special teams blunder.
Yeah, which on that same drive, your defense got a 3-and-out again. Your defense essentially, take away all the field goals and stuff, gave up 7 points tonight in regulation. Take the field goals out, just your defense on the field.
Well, yeah, it was the one-play touchdown drive off of the muffed punt.
Yeah.
That was the only touchdown the Niners' defense allowed in regulation.
That's
which
what
is
we're
more on
about.
The special teams than it is on the defense.
And I don't even blame Luter. And McLeod just panics. Like, oh my goodness, the ball's on the ground. He touched it. Like, I don't blame anybody in that position.
Ray probably should just fall on it instead of trying to scoop it up.
I agree.
But yes.
At that point, it's like, I have to get the ball.
That's just mayhem, chaos.
Exactly.
Yeah, like.
And even then, okay, your defense has been stuffing Mahomes and the Chiefs defense or offense all day, and it's a one play. We're back on the field again. Seriously, we're doing our job. Like, it just, Filmo's right. He's right. That play maybe should have been in Wilkes' head. The reality of it is, it shouldn't have got that far.
Yeah, and like, let's be real. Once the Chiefs got to the doorstep of the end zone like that, they were scoring a touchdown.
It was a pick or it's over.
They're scoring a touchdown. You need the Malcolm Butler, why didn't the Seahawks run the ball moment. You need a miracle in that situation, and you didn't get it.
And they wouldn't have got it even if the clock hit zero. It's yeah. Chiefs ball, second quarter, overtime anyways. Yeah. Same place. It wouldn't have mattered.
Kept on going. All right, back to the phones we go on overtime here on 95.7 The Game. It's Grandy and Sterling with you. Robert, really appreciate you holding on. Robert out in Milwaukee. You're on overtime on 95.7 The Game. How you doing, Robert?
Hey, I'm not doing that great, I think, like most of us are, you know. I'm 17. I've been watching this team my entire life. I've loved this team my entire life. I was too young to watch the full Baltimore game, but I remember waking up and seeing the paper and seeing the look on my dad's face, and I knew we had lost that one. 2019 hurt so bad. But this one this year felt different. Like, yeah, we had Purdy. We had our quarterback for once. We had CMC. And we were just dominating the Chiefs all throughout this first half. You know, our defense was in control. Our offense had some mishaps, but we were driving down the field. And then, I love Kyle, but you can't do what he did in that second half. Like, I don't think he should be fired or anything. I think he's the best coach in the league by far. He's got to work. He's got to this offseason watch the film and just work on some of this play calling, because I think we have a good window. We've got Purdy. He's young. He's going to get better next year, I think. If we can get Greenlaw back early next year, like in the week 8 or 9, I think we have a good chance next year. But we need Shanahan just to, you know, figure out how to improve somehow. I just want to see one Super Bowl win in my lifetime. I've been waiting 16 years, and I'm going to wait however many more. But yeah. Heck yeah.
Yeah. Appreciate the call, Robert. Yeah, I mean, 17 years without a Super Bowl, that's a long time. For Sterling and I, it's been 27 and a half. Yeah. I mean.
There was an energy in the studio today.
It felt different.
Yeah. There.
Our caller's right. This year felt different.
And he's also right that if Purdy can get better, your window's wide open.
And Purdy doesn't regress. Purdy still plays like he did this year, which was legitimate MVP finalist, if not for one bad game on Christmas, probably the MVP of the league. You still have the biggest bargain in the NFL.
For one more year.
For one more year. And then things change after that. But if you're looking at the Niners' legitimate window, this year and next year, and then everything's kind of up in the air after that. You're still going to have a lot of talented pieces on your team.
Yes.
Beyond that, you're going to have Bosa.
You can survive.
You're likely going to have Debo. You're at least going to have one of Debo and IU. Like, you're going to have talented teams, and you're going to be a playoff team, and you're going to be competing. But you got to take advantage of when you got this incredibly cheap quarterback. It's literally like league-breaking what the 49ers are able to do. Like, yeah. There would have been a conversation if the Niners won the Super Bowl. There would have been a conversation like, are they fair for the NFL?
Right.
Like, it would have been maybe not as large or as prominent as the conversation was about the Warriors in the KD era.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's just unfair. It's not fun. They're ruining the game of basketball. They're so good. You have all this all-pro talent. You win a Super Bowl. You come back with the same exact team.
Next year, yeah.
Like, there would have been some of that conversation.
Yeah.
But nope, because you lost in the biggest stage.
I would like to think you felt the exact same way I did when you woke up this morning. Feeling pretty confident. You're nervous, sure. Anxious, yeah. Everyone felt that.
I mean, you and I both thought it was going to come down to the final possession.
We did. And
which it did, but we thought they're going to be on the winning end.
And, you know, it's so funny. You and I have done all these games, maybe besides one. I think I wasn't here for the Browns game. But we have done all these games together. And when you go through an 18-week season plus playoffs, there is this sense of, like, let's do this together. Like, let's be on the air and let's win a freaking Super Bowl. And, you know, coming in today, it was like, this is the end of the season. There is no tomorrow. This is the end. And I felt, let's go out on top as the team did. Whether this is our last overtime together, whatever it is, like, let's end 2023-2024 holding the championship belt. It got to a point, I was rehearsing what I was going to yell and scream into the mic on the way home after every single Warrior game, saying, hey, what am I going to say on Super Bowl Sunday when we win? Like, that might sound crazy, but that's how confident I was that this is going to be the year. That, what am I going to yell at the faithful? Like, we did this. We accomplished this. That all the 27 years, 29 years of suffering, of loss after loss, finally paid off. And to know that I have to go home tonight, we have to sit here tonight, and we didn't play in the game, mind you. They feel a lot worse than we do, but go home tonight, our head hits that pillow, and it's like, damn, the same thing as 2019.
Gotta wait at least 365 more days to see something I have waited my whole life for.
And there is no promise it ever happens. There are people that have never seen their team. Imagine being a Cubs fan, 106 years. Cubs fans wanted that. Every Cubs fan, little kids, adults, I want to see my team win a World Series. There is no promise you ever get back. There's no promise you ever win one. I'd rather not go than watch my team lose three times. Don't, it's like you're right there on the doorstep. Don't trick me into believing. Don't tempt me into falling in love with the team, which I obviously do with this one, especially. This team is so likable.
And you will be in love with next year's team.
Of course, as always.
You'll get tricked into the same thing.
I always will.
Again.
But this team was so much more likable than 2019 in a different way. Like, you can rally behind every single player. Their wives, Kristen Juszczyk, Claire Kittle, I'm rallying behind you. Brock Purdy's getting married. Let's go, man. Like, it felt like this was, in a way, a cumulative family effort. Old fans, new fans, children, adults, people who did see 1988 and 95 and all the rings in Montana era. It felt like a cumulative, let's do this together. And they got nothing to prove, nothing to show for it. And it's like, again, here we go.
Here we go again. Same old, same old. It's what it feels like. And I'm frankly, excuse me, sick of the feeling. I have had this feeling too often, and I don't want to ever have it again. But the reality of being a Niner fan, it seems, it feels like we are in the cursed territory, because the Niners have been so close so many times over the last decade, and they just haven't got it done for whatever reason. Blame whoever the hell you want. This franchise just can't get over the hump, and it is infuriating as hell. All right, back to the phone lines we go here on Overtime at 95.7 The Game. Up next is Beto. Beto's in the city. What's up, man? You're on Overtime at 95.7 The Game.
Thank you for taking my call, man. And, I feel the same way everyone is feeling. It's heartbreaking. Everyone is pointing that finger, and I think my biggest concern is just Kyle Shanahan not taking the L. And you have to. There's no way. He can, manipulate it whatever way he wants, but it's, the stats don't lie. And for me, at this juncture of his career, he's 44, and, the lack of experience is showing. He did it with Atlanta. Now he's done it twice with the Niners, where the ball and the championship was in his hands. It's his call. And at the end of the day, it's experience. Bill Walsh started his career late. If you go back and look at it, when he started coaching the 49ers, he was 47 years old in 1979. And he started from the bottom all the way up to the top. Kyle Shanahan has been eating from the golden spoon. And yes, he is a genius, but when it comes down to it, he's dropping that ball. So I know, I hope, you know, he can learn from it. I can't say right now. I know emotions are high. Everyone wants him, we can fire him or do whatever, but, you know, we got a Formula One car right now with the Niners, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thanks, Beto. Appreciate it. I think, first of all, to be fair to Kyle Shanahan, we've only played one little bit of his post-game presser. I don't know what he said the rest of the way. I do want to fire off a couple more of Shanahan cuts. Maybe there is a moment where he takes responsibility and he admits mistakes and faults. The one piece that we did not play, as if you were with us in the last hour or earlier this hour, Sterling and I frustrated and upset by what he said about saying that he did not abandon the run game. He did not get away from the run game. But let's hear a little bit more from Kyle Shanahan. He was asked, does he have any regrets? Here's Kyle Shanahan.
What I can't live with is when I do stuff that I didn't plan on doing or that I didn't do and second-guess myself. And I'm proud of what we did today as a coaching staff and as players in terms of we worked and we did everything that we planned on doing. We just didn't get it done. And any play that didn't work out, yeah, you always look at that stuff. But that's how every game is, and that's what we work at.
So long story short, no regrets from Kyle Shanahan. He did what he planned to do. It just didn't work out. Shanahan asked why this keeps happening to him, these heartbreaking losses.
And this is my second game as a head coach. But I think when you go against guys like Tom Brady and Pat Mahomes, you better never feel comfortable with the lead. I mean, those are two of the best players to ever play the game. And that's why whether you have a lead or you're down points, those guys are always in it. You watch them all the time do that stuff.
We're searching for him saying, yeah, I wish I had that back. Yeah, that was my fault. I made a mistake. Haven't found it yet.
Kyle, you're right. You're playing Mahomes. You're playing the greatest in the game today. No one ever feels safe playing them. The difference is you maybe had the best offense equipped to go toe-to-toe with him, and your defense was actually shutting him out. That's the difference. You weren't the Ravens. You weren't the Bills. You weren't the Dolphins. You were the NFC participant in the Super Bowl with the number one offense in the entire NFL, a top-10 defense, and a top-10 defense today playing their best game of the season against the best quarterback all year. Maybe outside of Lamar Jackson. Yes, Kyle, you're right. No one ever feels confident against Mahomes and Brady. No lead is ever too safe. The difference is it's twice you've had experience facing the exact same quarterback with a less explosive offense.
Up by 10 both times.
And both
times. One in the fourth
times,
quarter, one in the first half, but still.
This one, I think, is the lead to me isn't the big issue in this one. It's the fact that you still clawed back. And you could have avoided this. You could have avoided this loss a lot more than 2019's. Because there was so much time to be had, and you had a whole half of shutting him down. And you didn't capitalize. That didn't happen in 2019.
Yeah, he blew a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter in 2019, though. These are tough ones. A couple more pieces of Shanahan sound, then we'll hit a break, and then we'll get to callers on the other side. He was asked about taking the ball first in overtime. I know this was also a point of contention for many Niner fans. Here's Shanahan explaining that decision.
This is something we talked about with, you know, none of us have a ton of experience of it, but we went through all the analytics and talked with those guys, and we just thought it'd be better. We wanted the ball third. If both teams matched and scored, we wanted to be the ones who had the chance to go win, and we got that field goal, so we knew we had to hold them to at least a field goal, and if we did, then we felt it was in our hands after that.
Fair enough. If both teams equal after the first two possessions, then it's sudden death, and the team that got the ball first gets the ball third, so I guess that makes a little bit of sense. You also pointed out maybe your defense is just dead tired. You don't want to put them out there once again. Something that people on the YouTube chat powered by First NorCal Credit Union are pointing to as well. You're going second. You're giving the opponent the knowledge of what they need to get on that drive, and the Chiefs knew a touchdown was going to win it, and they got a touchdown. In case that answer wasn't clear enough, Kyle was asked a follow-up. Again, explain that again, Kyle. Why'd you want the ball first in overtime?
our biggest thing was we knew both teams were going to get the ball at least once. So we wanted to make sure if we won the toss, we wanted to be the team who got it the third time.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. I don't really...
Why are you playing for third?
I'm not familiar enough with overtime. I need to dive in it a little bit more before I can make a legitimate... Have a legitimate opinion on it, because I don't really know what's best.
Maybe we can tease this, but I don't like that.
Analytics probably favors going second, I would be my guess. But analytics, you don't trust it blindly, but that would be my guess.
So you're essentially banking on, which I get in this game, maybe a little different, you're confident in your defense. But if you know they're tired enough to not give them the ball, or to give Mahomes the ball and face your defense to begin overtime, why are you confident enough they're going to be good enough to face him second in overtime? Yeah, there's a break there, but you're essentially playing not to lose. We'll get it the third time. And we'll go and score. Well, like, who cares? Like, just go and score a touchdown.
You might not have a third time. And
exactly.
You didn't have a third time. And that was
exactly.
It. You're playing for an advantage that is not guaranteed. That's...
Which is the dumbest thing ever. It doesn't even exist.
All right, we got to hit a break. We're a little bit late getting to this break. That's okay. We'll come back. We'll take some calls. We'll hear more Shanahan. It's frustrating. All of it is. I know. We're here for you. We'll keep going on overtime on 95.7 The Game. It's Grandy and Sterling with you.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.